It is a truth that we believe here at Grace that He loved us first. And we're thankful that for that, because if He didn't, we couldn't love Him. And that is the only reason why we can love Him, is because He loved us first. He displayed His love in us, or towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. And so for Him to love us first is the only reason why we then in return can love Him. There's no other way around it. You didn't seek Him out. He sought you out first. And we have to understand that. The sheep didn't just wander astray and find himself. No, it was the shepherd's love that went after the sheep to find that lost shepherd first. We have to understand the love of Christ, that He laid down His life for the sheep. We've been on the shepherd, John chapter 10. Turn with me, if you can, to John 10. We've been on this text for some time, and this morning we're going to be looking at 16 through 18, or really however far I go. I don't know exactly just yet. And I have hearts in my Bible this morning. I just noticed that for whatever reason. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. I believe one of my children got to my Bible this morning before I did. Was that one of you girls? That was Selah that put hearts in my Bible. Thank you, baby. I just realized that. John chapter 10, we're going to be reading. Let's read 16, and we're going to read on down through, let's read down through 32. 16 through 32. John chapter 10, 16 through 32. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's the Gentiles, that's us. We shall be grafted in. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he has a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. They forget that he had already told them that like 20 times. Then Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him, and Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, in the name of your precious Son, Jesus, thanking you for the redemption, Lord, that's been granted to us, Lord. Thanking you, Lord God, that he did love us first and laid down his life for us, Lord, that this just didn't happen upon the scene, but Lord, that this has been purposed from all eternity, Lord, and we're thankful this morning that it was so, because without you and without your love first shedding abroad on us, Lord, before time was, there would never be any grace for us. And so, Lord, we thank you. We come to you humbly this morning, asking for forgiveness, Lord, where we have fallen short and where we fail you. Lord, you've never failed us. You are the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the only shepherd, the all-powerful and all-knowing shepherd. And I give you praise, honor, and glory for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. John chapter 10. We've been looking at the good shepherd. We're going to begin there. Let's go back on up to 15 and read for just a moment, and we're going to get to 17, and that's where we'll pick up our text, is in 17. Christ is the good shepherd. And in John chapter 10, we see him being the door, and we also see him being the good shepherd. he makes these claims very, very pointedly. I mean, he comes out and he tells them this. Not only that, but we see where he tells them that he is the bread of life, he is the living water, he's the light of the world, he's all these different things. If we go on in John, we'll see where he is the vine. We see all these different things about who he claims to be, and he truly is these things. And so we come to you this morning in John chapter 10, and we see in 15, the good shepherd talking, and he says, "As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice." These are the Gentiles. These are those that of every nation, language, tribe, and tongue. When you go into Revelations, you see that. You see that they're gathered from the north, south, east, and west, and they all will come and sit at the feet of our Lord, and they will worship him. Jew and Gentile alike, where the middle wall of partition has been broken down, and it was through his veil, his body, his blood that this happened. And so granting us access to come into that fold as Gentiles in verse 16, "They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." And the point that Christ is trying to make here as he speaks to the Jews and really to all the people is that he is the mediator. He is the one, the in-between. You see, there had to be an in-between between us and the Father because God's wrath rested or lied upon us. And so there had to be an in-between go before us and to secure the way. And we know that that way goes all the way back to the beginning and before that. But we're going to look at that this morning, Christ, as the mediator. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Verse 17. I'm going to read it again, and this is where we're starting. "Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again." Let's look at Christ and what Christ is in our text. He is mediator. If you got a pen, you need to write this down, because this is where we're going to be at, and we're going to see how that relates to us. I'm going to give you five ways that that relates to us this morning. He is our mediator. He's the mediator in our text. He's the mediator of the new covenant this morning. I want us to understand that. Are we all in agreement that Christ Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant? Yes. Amen. All right. So with that being said, we have just admitted the fact that he is the only one that we can look to in this new covenant of grace. Yes. All right. That's fair enough. It all hinges on the perfect love Christ has for the sheep or for the church, and the fulfilling of the purpose of grace that was established before the world was established. And so we have to see that Christ Jesus, before anything was established, before any foundations were laid, there was a perfect love for a flock or for a sheepfold or for a church that was from the Son to the church. There was a perfect love there. This work of mediator was given to him by the Father for him to perform. Listen to what it says at the end of 18. "This commandment have I received of my Father." So he says, "This commandment have I received of my Father." This was not something, like I said, that just happened upon the scene. He just didn't think, okay, I'm going to leave glory and I'm going to come down to earth and save a bunch of people that are wicked. No. That didn't happen. He left glory to come save a people to himself that had been purposed by the Father before the foundations were ever laid. We have to understand that this morning. He is our mediator. He is the one that works this covenant of grace with us. We have to understand it. He is telling the people in our text, "I lay down my life in perfect obedience and submission." Listen to what he says in 17. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." Perfect obedience and submission to his equal. To his equal, to his Father. They had perfect unity before the world was and always have. He says, "I lay down my life to my equal, my Father, for him and for the church. And I will resurrect again from the dead. And I will do it Because I love the sheep or the church and I love the Father. So this morning, what does it mean for us as Christians that Christ laid down His life for the sheep, for us, as mediator? What does it mean for us as Christians that Christ laid down His life for the sheep as mediator? The first thing that, and we looked at last week, and but because Christ repeats Himself over and over in John chapter 10, because the people were obstinate against Him, it is worth repeating again. And we have to understand that, because when we see Christ as the mediator, one thing that it shows is that He is truly the only way, okay? He's the only way. And so He's saying that as mediator, I am the only way. There's nobody else outside of me. Nobody else. There's no other son. There's no other son, regardless of what other denominations, regardless of what other faiths or whatever you want to call them, sects will tell you, there's no other son, there's no other way, no other path, there's no other plan, there's no other purpose outside of Jesus and Him crucified, buried, and risen again on the third day. There's no other way. We have to understand that. If you're seeking salvation outside of Jesus, you're seeking in the wrong place. There's no other way. No other plan, no other purpose outside of grace to be saved by faith in Christ. The Bible tells us that Christ Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. What does that mean? His only Son, does it not? And if He is His only Son, then we understand that we have to go through the only Son, Jesus. The Scripture teaches us that He is the only begotten of the Father. There's no other. And it teaches us that He is full of grace and that He is full of truth. There is no other man living or has ever lived that is full of grace and full of truth. And only the only begotten of the Father. There's just no other. Ephesians 4, 4 through 7. Listen to what it says. There is one body and one spirit. Even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, is in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. It all hinges upon Jesus. We have to understand that. It all hinges upon Christ Jesus. This global church that it's talking about in this sheepfold here in John chapter 10. It says one sheepfold, one fold. There'll be one fold, one shepherd. This global church are all those and only those that have entered in through the Son. If you want to be part of the kingdom of God, it's only through the Son that that will ever happen. That's it. There's no other way. And so Christ is reiterating this over and over and over, and He continues to tell the people, and they continue to be obstinate, they continue to be hard-hearted. And ministers for thousands of years have been preaching this very same thing. They've been preaching and preaching and preaching that there is only one way, and it's only through the shepherd of the sheep, only through the door, only through the beloved, wherein we are made accepted, and that is Jesus, and that's it. And we have to understand that fully this morning. Son's work as mediator is what we're then to trust in and not our own for justification. And this is what John 10 and 17 is telling us, is that those works, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again, that death, burial, and resurrection, those works will be the cross and the resurrection. He says, therefore doth my Father love me because I do this. The second thing that I want you to see concerning Christ as our mediator, if you got a pen, I want you to write this down. What else does the passage show us about this? The second thing it shows us is it shows us that if the mediator dies on our behalf to do away with our sins, and He rose again according to the Scriptures on the third day, After doing away with our sins, the second thing that I want you to see this morning, because of the death of the mediator, it shows us very clearly that we are not to be scared of death. For if our mediator died and he is our good shepherd, we will go with him and we will be resurrected again on the last day. Very simply put this morning, there is no separating us from the love of the Son. If he was risen from the dead, then we will be as well. We will have a body fit for the kingdom of God. We understand that our spirits and our bodies will meet together in the air, and we will live with the Father for all eternity. We will live with our Savior for all eternity. We will have the love of God for all eternity. It shows us that if the mediator dies and he raises again, in our text it says, I laid down my life that I might take it again. He put life back into his body. And if that's the case, I want us to understand that we do not have to fear death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We don't have to fear it because Christ has overcome it. He is our mediator. He has overcome that death. So that's the second thing I want you to see this morning concerning Christ as our mediator. We don't have to fear death. Also, in our text, when he's telling this to the people, he's also telling this to the disciples. Because though he was going to go to Calvary, and though he was going to suffer a martyr's death and die for us, he's telling them, guys, I'm coming back. You don't have to fear my death. You don't have to fear my passion when I go to the cross, because I will come back as surely as I left. So he's telling this to his disciples to encourage them as well. The third thing I want you to see this morning, and I want to spend just a little bit of time on this. The third thing that it shows us this morning is that it was his delight to die for his sheep. It was his delight to die for his sheep. And for the Father's will and for the Father's glory. Turn with me, Ken, to Psalms chapter 40. We're going to read 7 through 8. Psalms 40. Psalms chapter 40, this is a messianic psalms concerning Christ Jesus fully. This is it. This is him talking. Christ Jesus is here. And David, even though David is prophesying, it deals directly to Christ. And listen to what it Psalms 40 says, 7 through 8. Listen to what it says. I like to hear those pages turning. Psalms 40, 7 through 8 speaks directly to this. It was delight. It was a delight for Christ to die for us. Listen to what Psalms 47 and 8 says. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. This is not talking about David, folks. This is talking about Jesus. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, thy law is within my heart. Key in on verse 7 or verse 8 for just a moment. He says, I delight to do thy will, O God. I delight. We're going to look at that word for just a moment. And then he says, yes, thy law is within my heart. The law that was in the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to me, and if you got a pen, write this down. The law that was in the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was that of the covenant of the grace that he came to fulfill. This was the law that was within his heart that he came to fulfill, was that covenant of grace. And I want you to write that down, because I'm going to explain to you what I mean. It was ever before him. It was not burdensome to him, but it was his delight. Listen to what John 8:10 and 18 says. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment or this law have I received of my Father. John 10 and 18 tells us clearly that this law that Christ had within his heart was that of coming to die for his sheep. And this is what he's talking about here. Delight means to delight in, to take great pleasure in. And so Christ Jesus, when he came, this law was written on his heart that he had a goal to accomplish. And from the foundation of the world, he knew what that was. And that was to go and to save a people and bring them unto himself. And so it means that, listen, Listen to what it says. I delight to do thy will, O my God. It was a delight for him. Yes, thy law is within my heart. This, what was going to happen to Christ Jesus, never left him. He knew what would happen before anything was established. He knew that he would come, and he knew that he would do all of these different things. And guys, this was not burdensome for him. It was not burdensome. It was a delight for him. Listen to what delight means. To delight in. To take great pleasure in. To delight in. To take great pleasure in. That's what it means. King Xerxes took delight in Esther, the most beautiful in the land. King Xerxes took delight in Esther. King Solomon took delight in building the temple. Same word used. It wasn't burdensome for King Solomon to go extravagantly all out for this temple that God was to dwell in. It wasn't. And so we see this morning that Christ Jesus, when he came, it was his delight in working this covenant of grace, this law that was written upon his heart that the Father had given him. It was his delight to do that. He didn't do it begrudgingly. He didn't do it with malice. He didn't do it with envy. He didn't do it with hatred. He done it with delight. It was his pleasure. How many of y'all been to Chick-fil-A? It's my pleasure. When you buy something from them, is that not what they tell you? You buy something from them, you say thank you, and they say, it was my pleasure. My pleasure to serve you. It was Christ's pleasure to do this for us. He took great pleasure in it. I want you to think about how much this adds to our salvation this morning. I want you to think about it. He took pleasure in saving us and fulfilling his word. If someone does something for us, think about this. If somebody does something for us with a bad attitude or out of obligation, does it mean anything to you? Not really, does it? It doesn't. You may be happy that it got done or that it happened, but how it affects you and that person, not really. If I tell my children to go do something and I give them a command to go do it, and they jump, yes, yes, sir. They jump up, woo, dad, yes, sir. And they go out and they do it. I take great delight and pleasure in that. But when they don't, ugh. Man, when they do it begrudgingly, it just don't mean anything. I'd rather you stayed in the bed. I want us to see what happens here. Christ, he did this. He did this for us, and he took pleasure in dying for us. He said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. What was the will of the Father? What was the will that's given to us in John 10? That he must lay it down and that he must take it up again. And why was that? It was for a wicked, raunchy, nasty bunch of people that couldn't save themselves. It's hard to believe this morning that he took pleasure in dying for nasty sinners. Does it not? It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that Christ Jesus took pleasure in dying for nasty sinners. But the truth is that he did. That he did. He took pleasure in dying for nasty, trashy sinners. We see Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's bent down under the pressure of our sins. Y'all remember the story. And he's praying to the Father. And he's bent down under the pressure and under the weight of the Father's wrath, under the pressure of our sins. He's bent down and the grief was so much that blood began to seep out of his forehead as sweat. There was so much pressing down on him. His brow began to bleed. And even in that, there was no regret from him. He was doing it willingly. He was doing it because he loved us. Because it was his delight to be so pressed out that blood would come out of his forehead. Even in his passion at the cross, upon the cross, as he hung there, and as he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even when he cried this out, even when he was hanging there, washed up, there was no moisture left in him. His tongue was cleaving to the side of his mouth. All of his bones were showing and they were out of joint. He was bleeding and he was mourning on the cross. But in his mourning and in his sorrow, in his grief, and in his blood that was pouring out all down his side and from his face, there was delight there for his sheep. You need to understand this morning that Jesus didn't come and begrudgingly die for you. He did it with a good attitude. He did it with a thankful heart. He did it because he took pleasure in doing it for us and for the Father. He was staring down the barrel of the Father's wrath, guys. The Father was about to crush him. About to pour out his wrath on him. And Jesus cries out, my God, why has thou forsaken me? And even in his last cry from the cross, when he said it was finished, he did it because it was his delight to do it for us and to do it for his Father. And this we see is the mediator. This we see Christ Jesus. We see him as our mediator. The go-between. Between God and us. The fourth thing that I want you to see this morning in 17 and 18. It shows us that if the Father loves the Son for the perfect obedience to the Father's will. If the Father loves the Son to the perfect obedience of the Father's will, then the Father loves us for trusting in His perfect Son. I want us to understand what's being said right now. If the Father loves the Son because the Son obeyed the Father, then all of those that obey the mediator, all of those that find their faith and trust and grace in the mediator, the Father loves them as well. God is love. Anybody hear me this morning? Anybody? Come on, guys. I'm preaching my heart out. He takes great delight in what He's done for us. Because He loves the Son, because the Father loves the Son, He loves us as well. That love chain don't stop at the Son, guys. It comes from the Father through to us. From the Father through the Son to us. And so He loves us. Despite all of our wickedness. Despite all of our wickedness. When we trust in the Son, the Father loves us. He sees us through Jesus' goggles. Despite how nasty and how raunchy and how dirty and how despicable we are. When we trust in the mediator and His work for our justification, the Father sees us as a pure, spotless bride. No matter what we've done. No matter what we've done. Why does He love us this way? Why does the Father love us this way? And we're fixing to see why this is in the next part of this text. But one, the reason why He loves us this way is because the sheepfold and the shepherd, they're bound together. The Scripture teaches us very clearly that the sheep only hear the shepherd's voice. They won't hear nobody else. They only hear the voice of Christ. They're bound together. They're bound together by covenant. They're bound together by promise. They're bound together by love and by the shepherd's blood, His death, His burial, His resurrection. They're bound together, never to be separated. So if the Father loves the Son, then He has to love us. I want us to see this morning, He has to love us. He has
has to love us because we've trusted in the Son. If He loves the Son, He has to love the sheep. There's no getting around that. There's no separating the two. The shepherd and the sheep, they go hand in hand. They are one. He loves the shepherd and He loves the sheep. The fifth thing that it shows us this morning, and I'm done. The fifth thing that it shows us, that Christ as mediator, is that it pleased the Father. Is that Christ was pleasing. He was a pleasing sacrifice to the Father for the sins of the church, for the sins of those that would trust in Him. The Father is pleased in the mediator. Not only does He love Him, not only does He love the shepherd, not only does the Father love the Son, and He's pleased, and he loves Him, but He is pleased in Him. And so all of those that trust in the mediator, all of those that trust in the Son of God, the Father not only loves them, but is pleased in them. I want you to pay attention to what I just said, because when Christ was baptized, there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's right. And so not only does He love Him, but He's pleased in the Son. And I need you to see this morning that despite our failures and despite our faults and all of our wickedness, when we trust in Jesus Christ as the mediator, the one that goes between us and speaks on our behalf, when we trust in Him, the Father is pleased in us. We have to realize the implications that holds. Just as He's shown, or just as He came down and He spoke to the Son and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," He's sharing the same thing with us. Because see, you remember, you can't separate the shepherd and the sheep. You can't. And so the Father is pleased with us when we place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator. I want the Lord to be pleased with me. Do y'all? Am I the only one that wants the Lord to be pleased with them? I want to do whatever I can do. And we know that it's outside of works, but I want to do whatever I can do for the Lord God Almighty. I want to bless Him. I want to do whatever I can do. And we see that when we trust in the Son, He is pleased in us. So this morning as we stand, I'm going to finish right there. As we stand, this commandment in verse 18, "This commandment have I received of my Father." This commandment was that of this covenant of grace that Christ Jesus came to perform. And all those that put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ shall and will be saved. There's no getting around that. Let's pray.